The statistics suck. Small independent restaurants have a survival rate that is so poor, you can't help but wonder, how do any of them survive? Food costs are soaring. Rental costs, taxes, wages are all pointing upward. How can anyone survive? As someone who appreciates the unique dining experiences that independent boutique restaurants offer, I reached out to the owner and founder of one of my favorites, Orto, which is in North Vancouver. What makes it a favorite of mine starts with the owner, who is always on the floor making sure that everyone who enters feels special. She really knows everyone's name. So how in a place like Vancouver can she survive when so many don't? In this episode of Careers That Matter, we meet the remarkable Brigitte, who shares her lifelong passion with the food service industry and a few insights into how to make it as an independent. Welcome to this episode of Careers That Matter. Joining me now is Brigitte Raye of Orto Restaurant. Brigitte, you have been a restaurateur, well, for your entire life. And somebody might say, well, why is that a career that matters? Well, it's a career that matters because the only thing that we do more than eat is breathe. Mm-hmm. We eat constantly, and we want to eat well. We want to eat great food. We want a particular ambiance. And more we're seeing these boutique venues like yours disappear. And so you do have a career that matters. How did you become you? How did you get started in the restaurant business? And let's go through the journey that led you to now. And then say, okay, well, what does a typical day look like? Because there might be some people who are thinking, well, I want to be you, but what does it take to be you?
So it takes a lot of things then. Let's start from the beginning. How did I start it? So I'm from France, small village, 600 people. Way more cows than people.
More cows than people.
Yeah. The village I grew up was very famous for its cow market. Cow market, like an auction for all those big white Charolais cows. Mm-hmm. And my family had a restaurant there. So here is little Brigitte, 8, 9, 10 years old, that is very interested already by the ambiance of this cafe, with all the farmers and the auctioneers, and they are here at 4 o'clock in the morning every Thursday. And every Thursday, Brigitte is at the bar serving glasses of red wine, white wine, bringing the bread to the table to all those guys that all know me by my first name, and that's how I started. Until the age of 12, loved it. Mm-hmm. Love because I was making a little bit of money, a little bit of tips, could buy my candies. That's how it started.
Yeah, but there's also an interpersonal side of that. You said all those people knew your name.
Oh, yes. I was Brigitte, la petite Brigitte. And I was cute, and it was fun for them to see this little girl that was bringing the bottle of wine at the table. Forget about
as big as you were.
Forget about the underage, forget about all that. And then when it was time to choose a career, it has been something I was not expecting. My mother went to the principal of the school and said, okay, what are we doing with her now? Without asking me. Mm. And the principal said, oh, she's good with this, good with that. I think a hospitality school would be good for her. Bingo, says my mother. And I was sent, and I said, okay. Send in a boarding school, which was a hospitality school. And graduate, and then first job I went to London, worked for the most prestigious restaurant, for the Roux Brothers, and voila.
Well, you went to London at what age?
I was young, I was 19.
19 years of age, you wind up in London. What's your English speaking skills?
Very good, monsieur. I am from France. What?
Yeah,
what?
But you
I don't understand, and that's it, and I started like that.
Oh, you didn't really speak English?
No. I worked in a French restaurant, learned the menu by heart. It was in the city next to the Old Bailey, the judge court. And, you know, started like that.
And how long were you in London?
3 years.
So what was the, if, when you look back on sort of the arc of your career, what was the benefit to you of having been there? How did that prepare you other elements in your life as you move forward?
Well, I started with the best places.
Yeah.
Started with the very good French restaurant, had good people around me, and I was not a party girl. I was not wild. I was pretty good. So I worked hard from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to ask anything to my parents after that. Good relationship, but was independent at the age of 19. Yeah, totally.
Where'd you go from there?
Then I fall in love, of course.
With the food, of
with
course.
With the food.
Yeah. Or the person who was making
exactly,
the food.
Exactly, a French pastry chef, very talented. And this guy decided to come back to France. So silly me, I said, okay, I'll go with you. And we end up in France, and here I am again starting in a new restaurant, Star Michelin rated, and I just did those kind of restaurants until I worked in a place, and the place was for sale, and Alain Rey bought this place.
He wasn't the pastry chef, was he?
He wasn't. Oh, no, I dumped the pastry chef. Enough of the choux pastry and the chocolate mousse.
Even though it was good.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
And Alain Rey bought the place, and he bought me at the same time. I became his wife, and we ran the restaurant together and had a Star Michelin. And
you had a Michelin star?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was formal. It was no black apron, white apron serving with jeans. And no, I was serious. I was Brigitte Rey, and we did good over there until we were tired of this French system.
You were in your 20s at this point.
I was, my late 20s. I met Alain, I was 23, and we left France. I was 38 or something like that.
Oh, okay, so you had a long run of it there.
A long run.
And the style of cuisine?
So Michelin star means upscale.
Mm-hmm.
Alain was a great chef. He was doing something fantastic.
And he had totally a reputation in Paris.
Oh, fantastic one.
Yeah, and by extension, so did you.
Of course.
But your reputation was different because you ran the front of house. Is that correct?
Totally different.
So
I was the one. I was. People like to say that I was the soul of the place. He was the heart.
So what does it mean to be the soul of a restaurant?
People see me. People like to be welcomed by somebody that they get used to. Brigitte is here. Brigitte is always trying to please the customers. And it's easy when you provide good food in a certain way. You know, I was totally confident with the food that Alain was doing. So it was a pleasure to please people. It's really the goal of my job is really to please people.
Now, when I started this, though, I also talked about the fact that you're creating an ambiance, you're creating an experience. And so that the food can be one thing, but if it's not matched equally with the quality of the experience, and that became your responsibility.
That's my job here.
But to be able to provide that, to be front of house, how many years did you have to put in when you were serving tables, when you were interacting with customers as they went, I don't like this, or I want that back, or, you know, this doesn't work for me, or, you know.
Well, as I was saying, I was lucky always to work in places where the food was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a problem. Of course, you have people that don't like this, don't like that. And reasonable requests are accepted.
Mm-hmm.
In France, people maybe at the time were not so, I won't say demanding, but requiring different things. Here in Canada, people like to customize a little bit more their food.
Mm-hmm.
And now with all the allergies, with intolerance, then we have to also deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
My French side sometimes want to say, oh, come on. No, but, you know, I've been here for 20 years. I am a little bit more
Canadian, shall we say?
Canadian. And if people tell me, oh, it's different, or it's, I understand what they are saying.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like it.
Right.
Different is not good. So we always try to change the dishes when it's an issue, but if it's just to bother me, then I don't accept it.
Yeah. So you leave France. Where'd you go?
Well, first Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, of course. I can see the direct line from Paris to Boston to Vancouver.
Yeah, easy. So we were lucky enough to be hired by the Meridian Hotel. And we stayed there just for a short time, just for a year. And Alain, my ex-husband, used to work here in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And Umberto Mangi with Jean-Claude one day called us and said, would you like to come over to open a restaurant in Yale Town? And here we go.
In Yale Town?
In Yale Town. The place doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to move over. So we were just like another time emigrant with the truck, with the kids, the cat, the dog, driving from Boston to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
The family left me in Niagara Fall, have my visa stamped.
Mm-hmm.
I flew over. They came behind me. I had for mission to find a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a place in 5 days. And that's how we started.
So you started working for Umberto.
Alan did. I didn't. Yeah, Alan did.
But you have to go through that whole immigration process. You come here. And then to start up a restaurant. So you have a unique view because you have global experience at some of the prestigious cities in the world known for fine dining.
Yeah.
You start to set up here. What is your impression of the restaurant environment from a regulatory perspective in Vancouver based on what you knew? Is it challenging?
We are talking 20 years ago.
Yes.
And I was really, I didn't know the place, never been in Vancouver before. I didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting nothing and I knew nothing. Quite easy then.
Yes.
We did exactly what we knew, how to do it. And that's why when we started at the time, and I'm saying 20 years ago, La Régalade.
Yes, in West Vancouver.
And Régalade was unique.
Yes,
because it was.
It was
not a French restaurant that has been customized to please Canadian people. It was just a real French bistro.
Mm-hmm.
It means a lot of things. The food, of course, the ambiance, the screaming of the chef, the servers with the attitude, and also a community that supported us right away. Wes Van, as soon as we opened, a month after, James Barber did a review on it. Place packed up every day.
So you went out of the starting gate flying.
Mm-hmm.
And you were small to begin with. You only had a sliver of a space.
Yeah, we just had half of what the place was after. It was so busy, we decided to take over the office next door and expand a little bit. And the place kept busy. Fantastic.
So what was the secret to being able to start properly? Because you came from your really traditional origins in France, both of you. What is it about that environment that prepares you perfectly to be able to say, this is how you open a restaurant? Now, and of course, there's going to be a whole bunch of other people who are successful in the restaurant business who go, well, that's not it. But for a boutique, one-of-a-kind restaurant, what was it about your approach that you think that made it work?
So I think we were good, both of us, at what we were doing, and we knew our job. It was not like, okay, I'm a hairdresser today, tomorrow I'm going to open a restaurant. No. Alain started, he was 14 years old in the kitchen. I started a little older, but not much more. And we did that.
Your entire career.
And always.
Right.
With some mistakes. We are good to do mistakes too, to make mistakes. It was not our first restaurant. We opened others. You have to have the experience with the people. You need to know how to purchase food. You know how to do accounting, relationship, hiring people. It's not only one thing. It's not only opening the door and say, hi, how are you? No, it's...
It's a complicated business, isn't it?
Because I myself, I just don't open the door and say hi to the customers.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, I'm in the office. I'm doing the books. I'm doing the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing the check for my suppliers.
Yes.
Then at 11 o'clock, da-da-da, change of costume, go to the restaurant. Then deal with the staff. Oh, the fridge is broken. Then we have to call somebody. Then, oh, the supplier hasn't delivered. What do we do? Brigitte, run to the food store and buy food. We are missing bread today. Not bread here because of the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the customers, the reservations, the email, the reviews, and then the bank. And it's a lot.
The food inspectors.
The food inspectors.
The restaurant inspectors.
Yes, everything.
Yeah.
It's a big work, and it's also so attractive that a lot of people think it's easy.
Yeah.
Because they like to cook at home, they like to entertain at home, but what's difficult is to be consistent, day after day. Forget if you have a pain in the if you have a toothache,
yeah.
Or if your husband was not so nice in the morning, or if the kids give you a hard time, forget if you have any kind of issue. As soon as you open the restaurant, then you are on stage, you put your big smile on, and you run the show.
Mm-hmm. So there are going to be people who say, well, okay, what happened to Le Regalade if you're so successful? Why aren't mm-hmm. you there now?
Ah, that's a good question. Thank you.
Because life could be, well, I want to make sure that people understand. You didn't leave because Le Regalade failed. You left because there were changes in your life circumstance.
Myself, yeah.
Yeah. And then you went off and started another restaurant, mm-hmm. and then you ran somebody else's. And now you run this fabulous bistro, and maybe it's not fair to call it a bistro, but I think of it because it still has that kind of atmosphere, Orto.
It's a small place. It's a small restaurant, unique place.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that's the best restaurant I've ever had.
Why? What makes this one so good?
Well, it's a combination of the unique place. The garden makes a big difference.
Well, yes,
We are in a commercial zone, and from a parking lot, we turn it into a real oasis.
It's like a Monet setting.
Exactly.
Yes.
And inside, it's very cozy. We have 32 seats,
mm-hmm.
and everybody knows everybody. I have a lot of my former customers from West Van, and, you know, not pretentious at all.
But still, you go into do this, you're not going into it just brimming with confidence saying, oh yeah, this will work. You still go into it with trepidation. So what are the things that you needed to do when you opened Orto to make sure that you're going to have the success that you're experiencing?
Never sure. That's the thing. There is always a big question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing the right thing?
Yes.
What if? And I decided first to change my repertoire from French to Italian also. That was a good idea in a way that Italian food, the way we are making it, it's a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need experienced cooks, not too much. I have a couple of ones that are really good. But most of the time, you know, we have young people that we are training. So it's way easier than the repertoire that I was before.
Mm-hmm. But you still have a number of specialty menu items, and
mm-hmm.
you were just telling me that you're going to process of making your own pasta.
We are making our own pasta still day one.
Yeah. No, but what was the difference? I've forgotten.
So, yeah. Don't listen.
Yeah.
So the big difference is that because we are sharing the facilities with the Bad Dog Bread,
yes,
who is the best bread in town, and Vadim has bought lately a mill, and he's going to mill the flour.
Oh,
for
okay,
us.
That was it. Yeah, he'll mill the flour.
He'll mill the flour. So from BC Grain, we are going to be the only place that is doing the pasta from flour that is milled on site.
And so you have to keep looking for those kinds of advantages.
We need to.
Yeah.
You know? If you look around us lately, about 3 new Italian restaurants have opened.
Uh huh.
And it's the big thing now.
Well, because Brigitte's doing it, everybody else has to do it.
There we go.
So we have to stay alert and we have to still provide the best to the customers.
Okay.
So we are really trying to have the best supplier. So we are talking about local farms in Pemberton, in Chilliwack. So all our vegetables are organic, local.
Mm-hmm.
We work with local distilleries, local breweries. So we really support the people around us. Mm-hmm. That's a point for us, very important.
Okay. So somebody goes, okay, you know, I'm young. I want to get into this business. I want to be like you. But already, just working as a server or working in the kitchen or whatever aspect of the business, it's long and it's odd hours because you're working when other people are relaxing. Then you move up to management and now you're a small business owner. You're an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner. What does a day look like for you? What time do you wake up in the morning?
Not too early, around 7 o'clock.
Is that about 2 hours after you went to sleep from the service the night before?
No, but you know what I've noticed, and that's what I like here in Canada. It's way easier than it could be in France, in a way that we don't have to go to the market first to buy the product. Everything is delivered.
Mm-hmm.
For our staff, they work one shift only. In France, you work double shift, mm-hmm. lunch and dinner. Here you don't have to do all the chores, meaning cleaning. In France, you know, it's a different story and it's difficult. Here the servers, they are lucky, they come, you know, they start their shift mostly when customers are coming
and they serve
yeah. Cooks, it's a different story.
Okay, but we're talking about your day.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up, you get going. What's the first order of business for you?
Oh, I'm silly enough to look at the reviews. That's my first thing. And it put me in a good mood most of the time, except, you know, the one that says something that I don't really like. And it makes me angry. So mm-hmm. that's how my day starts.
Okay. And from there you go where?
Oh, well, still on the computer. The morning is the office.
Bookkeeping.
And,
accounting, all that, yeah.
A lot of emails, reservations, organizing dinner for customers, parties. So it takes me up to 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then a little bit purchasing at the liquor store. Then I receive text from my chef, Brigitte, do this, Brigitte, do that. Okay. And then the day starts at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
11 o'clock.
Customers start arriving. You're serving.
Phone rings. Brigitte. Because that's the beauty also of being a business owner, a small business owner. People know me and they want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just for a reservation, they want to make sure that I'll be here when they come.
I know.
That's something, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you have to build a network.
Exactly.
You know, you build a customer base.
20 years in Vancouver, and I really feel like being part of Vancouver now.
Well, there's thousands of people who
it's
know
really
who you are.
It's really something very interesting, because mm-hmm. living in France was not that easy, and you leave everything behind, hoping mm-hmm. that you will build again relationship with people.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of barriers, you know, you are not from here, you don't speak the language, you are different, obviously.
Right.
But in the other hand, that's what people like. French people. Oh, are you from France?
Yes.
Oh, big smile, France. And everybody has a story about France. And I play the bit of the Frenchy.
Mm-hmm.
People like that.
Okay, so you get through lunch. Is there a little lull and then you're back onto the show again?
Not much.
No?
Not much. Lunch until 3, then 3 to 5. The doors are closed, but mm-hmm. we still have to work behind to be ready to open at 5 o'clock again.
Yes.
So talk with the chef, go through the specials. Sales rep are coming.
Mm-hmm.
some wine to test, which is something also interesting.
Yeah.
Lot of people coming for donation for charity, organizing events. Yeah. You know, it's
That's and then where you I'm also have from. To stay on top of making menu changes. How do you decide how to take one item out of your menu and swap it in with something else?
Well, we follow the season.
Mm-hmm.
So summer we'll do lighter with tomatoes, basil, lot of vegetarian dishes. Winter comes, then it's hearty food. Stews, ragu,
mm-hmm.
game, more, you know, little heavier.
Mm-hmm. And you've added, I'm going to put in this plug because you've added the most delicious Brussels sprouts. Oh my gosh, are they good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually, I think you made me think about. You took me to a restaurant once and we had Brussels sprout. I said, oh.
Yeah. Good. So if... Long days. Like you say, you don't wake up that early, 7 o'clock, but what time are you going home at night?
Around midnight.
Around midnight.
Yeah.
Okay. And it still takes you a little while to wind down.
Not too much.
No.
I'm arriving home. My cats and my dog is behind the door waiting for me. I have to walk the dog.
Yeah.
And then I like to watch TV, a little bit of news. I would say 10 minutes after, that's the TV that watches me. I'm done. I'm sleeping.
You're out.
I'm out.
Yeah. I'm out. But that's still a little bit of winding down. It's 12:30, 20 to 1 or so by the time that you're out.
Yeah.
And you back up at 7. So, and it's, even though you're not open 7 days a week, it's still an all-consuming.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a full-time job, no doubt.
So a young person goes, okay, I've watched this interview and you haven't scared me away. What from your, yeah, I know, that was the
hold
objective.
On. Yeah,
you don't want to do this work.
Hold on a second. I have ideas about that.
What is the most important thing from your perspective to be successful as a small independent restaurant tour? Because you know as well as I do, we're seeing less and less individually run unique boutique restaurants. Mm-hmm. What is essential to success?
You know, I'm successful today. Tomorrow, maybe it would be different.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing that would be for sure you'll be successful if you apply those rules. It's getting more and more difficult now for small places like mine. First, we have an issue in Vancouver to find people to work with us.
Yes.
And it's not only in my industry, but a lot of people that I talk to have the same issue. And the reason is easy to understand in a way that, unfortunately, we are an industry that we don't pay high wages to our staff, especially for the cooks. It's still below most of the other professions. So how can a chef or cook afford to live?
Mm-hmm.
In Vancouver with a wage which is reasonable but not so high. The problem is that I would love to pay my staff way more. Would customer pay more when they come to the restaurant? They don't.
Yeah. So is this part of you wanting to dissuade people away from doing this? Or
well,
what is the element? Do you have to just have a belief that you're going to deliver something unique and that you want to do it?
Well, you have to have a part of, first you have to love food, but not only cooking at home. Before you open a restaurant, you have to work in good places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying not only in Vancouver. You have to go abroad, you have to go in Europe or to the States and really start from the bottom.
Yeah.
See all the different steps in the restaurant. If you resist to that, then you need, and it's mandatory now, to know a bit of accounting. You need the numbers. Because in our industry, we don't make that much money. The profit is not that big. If you don't pay attention, in no time, you go on the other side.
Yeah.
And bada boom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that... The number is absolutely unbelievable. From 10 restaurants that open today, maybe only two would resist and carry on the second and third year.
Second and third year, yeah. Not even 5 years out, no.
No, no.
Wow. And so, still you love it.
Yeah. If I had to
Are
do
you
it,
crazy?
Yeah, I am. If I had to do it, I'd do it again.
Isn't that fabulous?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, you still like waking
I
up in the
like
morning
it.
Going to work. Yeah.
Some days, you know, I feel like, oh, as soon as I'm opening the door, here I am.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I understand you have a boss that drives you pretty hard. She's not very
she's
not very forgiving.
Oh, no. Oh, the reputation she has is true.
Well, thank you for coming in and sharing your career with us. Because
you,
I think, you know, what you provide is a unique experience that just enriches the lives of the people who get to enjoy not just Orto, but other small boutique restaurants mm-hmm. like yours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.